Up in Acts chapter 28, and it's been a neat series. This, what we've called Life on Mission, really kind of what God has developed into a series called Life on Mission, which is the continuing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit here on earth through his people. And we've talked about a number of times that the truth is that that's up to this very day through you and I as believers in him and as followers of him. And so last week we saw kind of the exciting conclusion to the first part of Paul's journey, right? To in his appeal to Caesar, and he had warned the centurion who was taking him, and he had warned the captain of the ship, and he had warned the folks, no, we shouldn't set out. It's October about, and winter is approaching, and it wasn't like today where we hop on a plane and we're there the next day. They were heading out on a journey, and sure enough, it ended. At least for the ship and the cargo and stuff in terms of disaster. But as God had promised Paul that he must get to Rome, God delivered Paul, and he delivered everybody with him as long as they stuck together. And so kind of a nice end to that frightening and exciting journey, really. 14 days just being tossed by the storm. Imagine that in a wooden boat. Remember last week we talked about the fact that they would literally use rope to hold the boat together. I don't know about you, but that would be a little unsettling to me, right? You're on a boat, it's made of wood, and they're using ropes. They undergirded the ship, it says, right? And they would literally hold it together or strengthen it with that. And so, yet we saw the advent of surfing, right? Remember where the ship broke up? Some of them swam into shore, and others rode on pieces of the ship, right? The first surfboards. And they rode into shore, and that's where we pick up the story here today. And this is called, in the last part of our series, Life on Mission, today is called Finishing Well. And, you know, although for the church it's not the finish, right, it's not the end, for the Apostle Paul, we're certainly coming to the conclusion of his life. Many believe within a couple years after this time he was executed and martyred for the faith. Yet, we'll see some great principles for us in terms of finishing well, as the Apostle Paul did. And, you know, there's a lot of analogies for life. You know, a lot of people, life is like whatever, right? You know, life is like peanut butter and jelly, or life is like a sandwich or whatever, you know. And some will say life is like a sprint, right? Run hard. You know, others will say, have said, you know, life is like more like a marathon, right? So you need to pace yourself. Others, and I think more rightfully, have said life is really a journey, right? There's times you sprint. There's times you pace yourself, right? But the important thing is to continue on, to go forward, right? And for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, one really important thing is to finish well, right? No doubt we all want to get to that day to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, right? We want to get there. And part of that is what we do today, right? Part of that is how we continue forward from today. You know, maybe we're here and we feel like we need a reset in some regards, or listening today online or whatever, and we feel like we kind of need a reset. Maybe we're in the highlight of our spiritual journey. We've never been closer to God. We've never been, you know, living a life of worship more. We've never been serving God more. We've never been giving more. We've never been witnessing more. We've never been more on fire for Jesus. That's awesome, right? And it's important to continue that. Maybe we feel really downcast and beat up. And we feel like, man, I've just completely failed God. Well, guess what? God's mercies are new every morning. Today's a good day to decide to get right back on track. An important aspect of our walk with God is finishing well. And so we'll see some principles here from Paul's journey of how he, you know, how he kept the faith, right? How he was able to do what he did. You know, when you think of the Apostle Paul, sometimes I think of the Energizer Bunny. Right, you know, you ever see that commercial, right? And it just keeps on going and going and going. Paul reminds me of that. You know, and we don't read so much. You know, we know he went through seasons of reflection and seasons of, you know, introspection and such. But, you know, Paul, no doubt, you know, had those moments. But we see him just continuing to serve the Lord in faithfulness and in truth. And so we'll see some principles this morning of how he did that. So verse 28. Or verse 1 of chapter 28, we'll see one key to Paul's life was that Paul was a servant. You couldn't keep this guy down. You couldn't hold this guy back. And we'll see, this is no exception. This is after the shipwreck. Remember, Paul really could be credited with saving everybody's life. I mean, all glory goes to God, but Paul is the instrument that he told the centurion, you know, the God whom I serve appeared to me, and he said that if we all stay together, we're all going to make it. The cargo will be destroyed, the ship will be destroyed, but lives will not be lost. So we pick it up here now as they've all gotten to shore, whether through swimming or surfing or whatever, right, riding parts of the ship. Now they're on shore, and we pick it up here in verse 28. So when they had escaped, in verse 1, they had found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. And we shouldn't think of, some of your translations say barbarians, and we shouldn't think of this like, you know, cowboys and Indians or, you know, barbarians. This is just how the Jews referred to people. They were just natives of the island. It was, for the day, a relatively civilized island. Actually, the other side of the island, they didn't recognize it. They were actually, it was a well-traveled place. And so these were just non-Jewish folks. And so the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. They had just come out of the Mediterranean Sea. It's a cold sea, right? It's October. They've been, on the ship for a long time, and they're cold. And so they built this fire. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened to his hand. So Paul, I mean, this guy, you know, in a sense, as I mentioned, you could sort of credit him, right, for saving the crew. Some people would be tempted to say, man, you built me a fire. I'm cold. I've been trying to keep you guys from, you know, I told you to eat. I just fed you while we were on board, got you all in safely. But you can't stop Paul. You can't hold a guy like this down, right? He's always looking for opportunities to serve the Lord. And how do we serve the Lord? We serve the Lord most often, right, by serving God's people. Not only God's people, but by serving people. So Paul, here he is, right? He's kind of kept the crew together, physically alive. He's encouraged them emotionally. Of course, the believers, he's encouraged them spiritually. And he gets on shore, and what's he doing? Now he's going out and he's gathering wood, right? He's not just sitting back saying, I saved you guys, you make me warm, right? He's always looking. People are cold. People are cold around us. Are we looking for opportunities to warm them up, to help them? Or are we expecting others to come and to serve us? Paul was always looking for opportunities to serve. And so he picks up these sticks, right? So he's gathering wood. And as he gets close to throwing the fire, because of the heat, the viper feels out. There's a snake. It's a poisonous snake. And it jumps out and it latches onto his hand. That's where we're at in verse 3. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. So in other words, they're saying, man, this guy must really be a bad guy, right? Because here, he just escaped death on the sea, and now, he's lived all these days, you know, being tossed around on the sea. He swam in, and yet now he's going to die because it's a very poisonous snake. It was a snake that they knew, they'd seen it happen, the people, you know, blowing up and they die. And so they're going, man, you know, justice is getting the best of this guy because he certainly is a really bad person because of what's going on. So verse 5 says, but he, that is Paul, he shook off the creature into the fire and he suffered no harm. Interesting. You know, and this is often what happened to us. Right? You picture when the snake strikes, right? When the viper strikes, Paul is sort of at a place of perhaps relief. You know, God had used him to spare the crew. No doubt he had been witnessing to the crew. Certainly people are coming to Christ. We see that. And the snake strikes. And sometimes the snake strikes us, doesn't it? You know, difficulty, trouble, hardship. In this case, they're thinking he's going to die. Right? What do we do when the serpent strikes? You know, sometimes it's when we're at a spiritual high. Sometimes when it might be when we're at a spiritual low. But what do we do when the serpent strikes? What did Paul do? He shook it off and he kept on serving. Right? He shook it off and he went forward. You know, Paul, you couldn't keep him down. He saw Jesus, right? And we'll look at some verses in a few minutes, but how Jesus served, and the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to be like that. And so he shook the serpent off. But check this out. And this is, you know, for those who are tempted to try to be, you know, famous, right? I like this song. I'm going to butcher it. It's out right now. I'm not even sure who sings it. But, you know, I don't need to be, you know, see my name in lights. I'm famous in my Father's eyes, right? Is that Laura Daigle or something? Anyways, and it makes a good point. Because check this out. Remember the natives who just said what a bad person Paul is, right? This guy must be terrible, right? Justice has found him out because he's bit. Verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and they said he was a god, right? So he goes from like this terrible mass murderer to now you're a god, you know, you're a god, right? And just the fickleness of seeking the praise of man, right? The foolishness of seeking the praise of man. One minute you're a god and the next minute you're a mass murderer, right? You know, and you know, people can be so back and forth like that. Paul made no difference to Paul. He just kept on serving the Lord. And in verse 7, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him, and he healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases only came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So they stayed there a total of 3 months on this island, right? They wintered there, and like they probably should have done back in the port where Paul recommended that they not leave. And so they hear. But here, our first point that we're noting from this, if we want to finish well, is that we need to serve God with all that we are. Serve God with all of our heart. Serve God with all of our thinking. Serve God with all of our mind. Serve God with everything that we are. Give ourselves wholly and completely to the Lord. And as we see here, sometimes people turn service of God into something sort of esoteric or mystical, right? Often serving God has to do with serving others. I mean, you can't separate the two, right? And so here, the first principle we have is to serve God with all that we are. Paul, you know, didn't choose just to kick back and relax. He gets on there, but he gets up, he gets in there, and he continues helping. And as I mentioned before, you can't keep someone like this down, right? If they're just looking to serve, they're not looking for their own comfort. They're not looking for attention to themselves. He shook it out one way or the other. I'm a terrible heathen or I'm a god. It made no difference to Paul what they thought of him. He just served. He was just trying to help comfort them. Everybody was cold, right? He had a servant attitude. Jump with me over to Matthew chapter 20. It wasn't Paul's idea, right? It certainly wasn't his nature, like it's not our nature, right? Paul was following a very good example of a servant mindset, of a servant attitude. And it's really a decision that we make as believers. In Matthew chapter 20, we pick it up in verse 25. Jesus called them to himself and this to his disciples, and he says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." Of course, you know, Jesus being God, right, of all people could have done the same thing, right? Yet, in verse 26, "It shall not be so among you, believers, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man," so this is, as you know, a term Jesus used of himself. "So just as the Son of Man did not come to be served," but what did he come to do? To serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So, it's not that Paul had some, you know, great idea of his own, right? He was simply following the teachings of the Lord Jesus, the example of the Lord Jesus, to serve. We err and we do ourselves harm when we get our eyes off of the Lord, right? Remember last week we shared the acrostic joy, Jesus, others, you. When we turn that around, we end up discouraged. We end up unhappy because we were created to serve. Jump with me over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 17, this is how Paul did life. You know, you don't, and there's no doubt, we're not talking about, you know, the ignoring the wisdom of taking care of ourselves. We were just talking a little bit about that this morning. We're not ignoring the wisdom of, you know, eating well and exercise and getting rest. I mean, those things are just, should just be part of a life on mission. But look at Paul here in verse 17, how he viewed kind of his ministry. Philippians 2, verse 17, yes. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And so he's talking about, he is pouring himself out. He's expending himself for others, right? For their faith, for the betterment of others. He's not, you know, concerned about himself. Oh, I'm tired. I'm sad. I'm down, right? I'm overextended, right? I'm broke. You know, I'm not feeling good, right? He's pouring himself out for others, right? And if we want to be servants of the Lord, we need to view ourselves as servants of others. Jump with me also over to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we are rapidly approaching the very end of Paul's life. And I love to read, you know, Peter. I love to read, you know, the things that these guys, well, all scripture is inspired by the Lord, but it's awesome to see after a life of walking with Jesus, right? There's nothing I enjoy more. I mean, oh, there's a lot of things, but there, one thing I really enjoy is sitting back and listening to guys and gals who have served the Lord all their lives, right? They're toward the end of their life, and you know, they've just given themselves to serving God, which means serving people, sharing Christ with others. They're so usually so full of grace, so full of love. You know, I shared the story one time, about one time when we were at a retirement home. Mitch used to lead a retirement home ministry back in Southern California. Once in a while, he let me speak there when he was feeling brave. So I was there one time, and I was sharing, and there was a guy who hadn't lived his life for the Lord. I saw him come in while I was sharing, and he came in. He kind of sat in the back by himself, and I noticed him. He came in about halfway through, and afterwards, you know, just trying to be nice, I went up to him. And I said, hey, how you doing, sir? You know, I noticed you come in. You know, how's everything going for you? And he looked up at me real angry. He said, what's wrong with you? You some sort of homo coming over here trying to pick up on me? And I'm like, I was like you guys. I'm like, what did he just say? You know, he was angry at the world and I was part of it, you know. And that's kind of the opposite extreme of people who have just served the Lord for their life. Man, they're full of joy, right? They've poured themselves out for the benefit of others. And so here, Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, and in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He had poured himself out, given himself all that he had for the service of the Lord, and he was fully God's. And this really is part of our worship, right? This is, you know, often we can think, well, worship is something we do at the beginning of service. At Calvary Chapel, we start our services in worship, sometimes with the team, sometimes video worship, to really give us a time to sit before the Lord and to sing to the Lord, to kind of get our hearts and our minds focused back on the Lord, and just to rest before him, to prepare ourselves for God's word, right? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So worship in song prepares us for the word. But worship in song isn't all that worship is. Jump with me over to Romans in chapter 12. And this is really important. If we're really going to live a victorious Christian life, by the way, next week, we're starting a series called Living in Victory in the book of Joshua. We'll be studying through the book of Joshua starting next week, so you can read ahead. A good idea, too, since we're finishing up Acts, and Paul, of course, is in prison. He wrote the prison epistles, right? A number of those books. So those are good for this week, too, to go browse through since we've just been with Paul. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Nevertheless, in Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, I beseech you, and that's just the strongest way of saying, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Right? That's the New King James. It's often good to look at other translations. Sometimes it gives you kind of a bigger picture of kind of what is being said. So listen to the New American Standard, often referred to as the best kind of word-for-word translation, not necessarily the best thought-for-thought, but best word-for-word. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Paul absolutely equates our service to God, our service to people, with worship. Listen to the New Living Translation. I think it even kind of expands on this more. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Right? Giving ourselves to God, the Apostle Paul equates with the truly, he says, the way to worship him. And he goes on and he says, which is really the only way we could do this, is do not copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Right? God's word is the key to this, right? Serving God's people is the way that it's lived out, and not only God's people, but people in general. And it's really, if we're gonna finish well, if we're gonna stay the course, one thing Pastor Chuck would regularly encourage people in, both, you know, at church, certainly at pastors' conferences, many times, that phrase, stay the course, right? Just be faithful to God's word, to God's people, to living for him. And part of that is serving. Paul was a passionate servant of the Lord, passionate servant of others, even here in a difficult situation, right, where he could have thought of himself as somebody, he chose to serve. The story is told of an old preacher sharing with his grandson one time. And he said, son, you'll find in life and in the church and in just interacting with people, there's talkers and there's doers. Talkers and doers. And he said, as best you can, choose to be among the doers. And then he said, it's less crowded there anyways. You know, just the idea, you know, there's those who want to talk, right? And then there's those that do, that step out and serve, that, you know, don't care whether anybody knows. God knows, and that's the important thing, right? But they're just faithful, always pouring themselves out for others, always giving of themselves for others, doing what Paul said over in Philippians 2, they're preferring others' interests above their own. You can't hold somebody down like that. You can't hold them back like that. When their interest is really in others, when it's really in serving the Lord, because there's always something to do, right? There's always opportunity. You're always being fulfilled if you want to put others first. If we put ourselves first, right, we choose to live for ourselves, to consider our own interests first, to put our own needs first, our own comforts first, our own wants first, you're never going to be satisfied, right? People look for satisfaction in the things of this world. They look for satisfaction in enough money. They look for satisfaction in enough friendship. They look for satisfaction in a job or whatever, and it's just not going to satisfy. The only thing that is going to satisfy is your relationship with the Lord. And you, as you see here in the Word of God, you cannot separate your relationship with the Lord from serving others. Absolutely, Paul, one key to his finishing well was serving God with all we are. And worship is not really so much what we say, it's how we live. We can't really serve God without serving others, getting our eyes off of ourselves, off of our own issues. Get moving, serving the Lord by serving others. Next time you find yourself discouraged, You know, and we all get there, right, if we're honest. The next time you kind of find yourself down, maybe the next time you find yourself angry with somebody else. Anybody else ever get there? I'll admit, right? And this is between you and God. You don't have to tell me. I don't really want to know, to be honest. You can tell me if you want. But anyways, it's really between you and God. But next time you find yourself at that place, look for how many I's are in your conversation. Whether it's in your prayer life, your conversation with God, whether it's in, not to sound crazy, but our conversation with ourselves, right? What we think about. Whether it's in our conversation with others. If only I had this. If only I could do that. I want that. I need this. If only I could be here, right? I. And it's empty. It leads to that, right? And so next time you find yourself at that place, instead, well, first evaluate that and see if that's an issue. What do I want? And try to replace it with, God, what is your will? What do you want, God? Not my will be done, not I, but your will, God. What do you want? And guess what he's going to, Philippians chapter 2, right? Go through the word of God, right? He's going to tell us. But we need to change the way we think. Many people spend days, weeks, months. Some Christian spends a lifetime in this kind of mindset because they don't take what God says in the story. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We cannot grow in our faith apart from reading God's word. People will sometimes come and say, man, I just really feel separate from the Lord. I don't really feel like God's speaking to me. I'm like, well, how's your Bible reading going? Silence. Well, if you're not reading the Bible, how do you think you're going to hear from God? You know, I don't have anything to offer, right? I'll encourage you. Here's a Bible reading plan. Get into God's word. Listen to God. And then, most importantly, step out in it, right? That's where faith comes in. Faith isn't what I say, right? Faith is what taking what God says and acting on it. Man, Paul was a great, great example of that. Serving the Lord, right, which is our reasonable form of worship, according to the Apostle Paul, and you cannot separate serving others from serving the Lord, is what we were designed for. We're not going to be satisfied trying to please ourselves. We're not going to be satisfied trying to build our kingdom on this earth. You'll be excited, right, for a period of time. I mean, it can be exciting, and I easily fall into this. To kind of set maybe a goal, and I want to get this. And it can be exciting pursuing that. But guess what? You won't be satisfied when you get it. And you may not get it, so you're never going to be satisfied along the way. There can be excitement. Don't ever confuse excitement with satisfaction. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. I find for myself at times, and certainly for a lot of people, contentment is elusive. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many would say, I am content this morning? I'm satisfied. I have enough. I do enough. I'm thankful, right? We're not going to find contentment in serving ourselves. And so Paul was pouring himself out, he says, as a drink offering, being poured out according to God's will, right? We talked about that when Paul went to Jerusalem. This whole thing started with Paul going to Jerusalem, which many people said, don't go to Jerusalem. There's going to be trouble for you. You could argue that Paul wouldn't be in prison, right, all these years if it wasn't for his, what some call stubbornness, in going down to Jerusalem. Now he's heading to Rome, and he's going to end up beheaded, right? A little while after he talks with Nero, Caesar Nero. But guess what? What many consider a setback, shoot, the ship is broken up, and we end up on this little island of Malta. A lot of those people there got saved, right? Paul, he didn't look at it as a setback. Shipwreck. Sometimes we feel like life is a shipwreck. You know, God is... Think, you know, God's not causing things to fall apart in our lives. He's calling things to fall into place. There's people there on Malta that he wanted to reach with the gospel, and he knew that Paul would be faithful to share it. There's no doubt many Christians had gone to Malta and not shared the gospel, right? God is going to use people who he knows will be faithful to share. I heard one preacher talking about, you know, in terms of finances, can God trust you with his money? Does he know if he gives you his money that it's going to be used for the benefit of his kingdom, or is it going to be used for your kingdom? But you know what the reality is? That goes for our energy, and it goes for opportunity. If God gives you, fill in the blank with your name, the opportunity to share with this person the forgiveness and the love of Christ, can he be confident that you're going to do it? Because if not, he'll send somebody else. And he might send you, right? And we've all had those opportunities, right? I remember at one point, I drove by this lady so many times outside of a convalescent home, and she always was sitting there just waving, and so many times I thought I should go back and share the gospel with her. And one time I even turned around and couldn't find, you know, by the time I got back, and I'm like, well, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden I'm driving one time, and there's her wheelchair there with balloons. She had died, you know? And thankfully, I read later in the paper, I think in an obituary, it turns out she was a believer, you know? So I was thankful for that. That really kind of struck home, and I said, I don't want that to happen anymore. You know, and I remember different family members who are with Jesus now, thankfully, right? Others that I shared Christ with, and I'm not so sure, right? But I have peace because I shared Christ with them. Because the reality is God gives us opportunities. There's some opportunities we don't get back. Are we going to be faithful? Does God know that he can count on us with this opportunity, whatever it is, you know, in evangelism, in finances, in an opportunity to love someone, an opportunity to reach someone? Does God know that he can count on me to do what he did, what he wants to have accomplished? Many, maybe even Paul, initially struggled. He spent 3 months on this island. What a setback. No, what an opportunity. And he used it to bring many to Christ. So, and he served them. He cared for them. You know, Paul healed people. Do you know you can heal people today? Oh, Steve, are you getting crazy on us? No. First of all, if God calls, you can be a part, right? God does the healing, but you can pray for healing, right? Come out on Saturday morning sometimes, right? We see it happen, right? Do it at work. It doesn't be on Saturday mornings, right? Pray for people. But do you know you can help heal people of loneliness by spending a little bit of time? Do you know that you can help heal yourself, perhaps, of loneliness by spending a little time with other people? Do you know that you can help encourage people who are discouraged by just sharing God's word with them? Maybe a quick email. It doesn't take a lot of time all the time. Just a little bit of thought, a little bit of effort. Paul was a servant to the core. And that's our first thing, and we better move along here, huh? The first part of finishing well is serving God with all that we are. Not holding. I don't want to get to the end of the race, and you know, I have no doubt I'll be in heaven, right? At least most days. No, I'm kidding. I have no doubt, but I want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to feel like I left anything on the table. You know what I mean? Get there and you know, feel like, man, I should have done more for the kingdom. Do you know what you'll never get to do in heaven? What's that?
Get that time back.
You'll never be able to get the time back, right? You'll never be able to evangelize. Right? Who are you going to witness to in heaven? You know? Let's do it right now, right? This is the only opportunity we have. You know what I mean? And that kind of goes for a lot of other things that we get to do here. So number one, serve God with all we are. Number two, touch others' lives for God's glory by the way that you live yours, right? Touch others' lives for God's glory by the way that you live yours. Here in Acts, back in Acts chapter 28, let's pick up in verse 11. And after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. So, as I mentioned, this was actually a pretty well-traveled island. They didn't recognize it. They came up on the other side of the island. And so they picked up this ship there that had wintered there, along with many others. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled round and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli. Sometimes the Lord likes to try our pronunciations, right? Where we found brothers and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And man, it's so awesome to come across other believers, isn't it? You know what I mean? Wherever you're at, could be another country, could be, you know, another city. But what a blessing that is. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier and guarded him. So Paul was given a tremendous amount of freedom. And we saw this last week, right? We saw this in their travels here. And we discussed the fact that it's because of his character, his godly character, his humility, his faithfulness, right? The centurion, rather quickly, it appears, realized that Paul was someone, a man of character, someone that he could trust. And so he was still chained to a Roman soldier, but given freedom to move about. And at least that's better than being in a dungeon, right, a prison. And so, and what do you think came of some of those soldiers? Probably believers. They're chained to Paul for 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day. You know, they're sleeping by him, and, you know, he's probably keeping them awake singing and, you know, midnight in the prison in the dungeon. Many of them, no doubt, came to Christ. Some would say, oh, man, I'm strapped to this desk at work. I'm always having to fix these tires or build these homes or, you know, repair these things for people, whatever it is. You feel like you're strapped to your job, you know. There's people there God wants you to reach. Paul didn't look at, you know, this. In fact, go read the book of Philippians. Go read the book of Colossians and others, and see how Paul viewed these times. Man, God used him radically, and so he was permitted to live in such in relative freedom, right? Relative to other prisoners, tremendous freedom, because of his character, his godly character, and so it's a good principle for us is to touch other lives for God's glory. Paul wasn't preaching himself. Right, he wasn't trying to attract people to himself. He was devoted to helping others, and he was devoted to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So serve God with all that you are. Touch other lives for God's glory by the way you live yours. And so that's important, right? People can think you're the nicest person in the world, but if you never tell them about Jesus Christ, they can think you're the nicest person all the way to hell, right? If they never accept Christ. So it's not enough for people to think we're nice. That's good, right? Hopefully they do. But we need to love them enough to share the truth of them. And so third, always proclaim God's word. We'll see the Apostle Paul was a great example of that. Always proclaim God's word. Sometimes, in fact, always it's going to include verbally, right? At some point, it's going to include verbally, right? But it's not only verbal, right? It should be by the way we live as well. But at some point, it has to be verbal. Check this out in verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, so keep in mind, right, he's here on charges from the Jews in Jerusalem. Apparently the message didn't get down to these folks. He says, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the custom of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. So very gracious words he's sharing. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Then they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. So none of this had gotten down to the church there in Rome, or not the church, the synagogue there in Rome. But we desire to hear from you what you think. So Paul's going, ding, all right. You know, he gets an opportunity. You know, I remember one time I was at work. It was shortly after Christmas, and we had a little Bible study we did one day a week there, and you know, a lot of people knew about that, but it was a small group, and I was sharing about our Christmas with one guy, a Catholic guy, and it was just about a Christmas, you know. And at that time, my mom, well, still to this day, was ministering to the kids of a friend of hers who had died of cancer. And I just kind of mentioned that in passing. So they're with us. You're just saying, you know, my brother and sister and blah, 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 and, you know, all this. And he's all, were you always this way? And I'm like, ding. No. And he goes, I want to hear your story. And I'm like, really? Let's have lunch. So we had lunch, you know, and it's not my story. It's Jesus, right? So I shared Christ. And at the end of lunch, he prayed and received Christ, you know. And so Paul, you know, here, they say, we want to hear from you. You know, Paul's not going to tell them about the shipwreck on Malta, right? He's going to tell them about Jesus. So what do you tell people about when you have opportunity? And so he says, we desire, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So they had heard of Christianity, the way they called it, the sect at the time. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Now note that, we don't have time to get into it, but note where Paul shared Christ from. The law and the prophets, what we would call the Old Testament. Paul led them to Jesus, many of them will see believed. Paul led them to Jesus from the Old Testament because Jesus is revealed throughout the Old Testament. No doubt he shared of the coming Messiah, he shared of the suffering of the coming Messiah, which they, you know, they all spiritualized. You know, he shared of the birth of the Messiah. He shared of the many prophecies fulfilled. He led them to Christ. The ones who came to Christ, he led them there by teaching God's word. And in this case, it was from the Old Testament. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So some of them believed and some didn't. Paul wasn't responsible for the results, right? That's the Holy Spirit, right? Our responsibility is to share. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes are hard of hearing, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, my eyes are too great this morning, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. And so Paul, right, shared God's word with them. Jump with me really quick again. Well, just over to the next book, Romans. Jump over to chapter 10 this time. This is important. Sometimes people will say, you know, I only share with my life. And it's good. We should share with our lives. But look what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. He says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's a blessing. Whoever, right? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the character of Christ, the person of Christ, they will be saved. But listen to this, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? That doesn't just mean preacher like me standing up here on Sundays and preaching, but someone, a proclaimer of the gospel, someone sharing the gospel. And then how shall they preach unless they are sent? And so, you know, we're commissioned, right? Jesus gave us the great commission to go make disciples of all the nation. We have a life on mission. You have a purpose, right? Each and every one of us as believers in Lord Jesus Christ have a purpose, have a commission from the Spirit of God, right, into your workplace, into your communities, into your homes. That's where it starts, really, right? As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, right, to proclaim his praises, right? And so we're all called, and it's important, and that's part of a healthy, you know, being poured out for others and for the Lord. And so, but some, right? Like we just read, some believed and some didn't. And that's us, right? Some of us will hear and believe and some may not. Not in terms of salvation, right? I hope, right? We're saved. But some will hear the message that if we want to save our life, we'll lose it for the sake of the gospel. Some will hear that and believe. Others will keep on seeking their own kingdom. Right? Some will hear, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means make God's kingdom a priority. Put him first. Some, and then all these other things, the things that we so often worry about, will be given to you. The idea is by God will provide them. Some will hear that and believe and do it, and others won't. We have a choice. I want to encourage all of us, let's be among the believers, right? The ones who believe God's word. Let's be among the doers, the one who lives God's word. As the old preacher said, it's not as crowded there anyways, right? And so we want to be those. But it's a good question for us to ask. Do I believe God? Not just believe that he exists, but do I believe God? So always proclaim God's word, right? Verbally and non-verbally. And then last but not least, yield to God's will at all times. Yield to God's will at all times. Back in Acts. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. That was actually under always proclaim God's word. He's proclaiming God's word. And then verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 years in his own rented house. Man, house arrest, 2 years. What a setback. What a bummer. Can't be God's will. Not how Paul looked at it. What did he do? He received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. You can't keep someone like Paul down, right? And you can choose to be someone like Paul and believe God or not believe, right? That's our choice. But if we choose to be yielded to the will of God, surrendered to the direction of the Holy Spirit, always, always giving of ourselves, always serving others, always looking to help others in spite of how we feel, in spite of, you know, what's going on with us. If we're always pouring ourselves out, you can't keep someone like that down, right? And again, I'm not dismissing the wisdom of, you know, physically taking care of ourselves, right? That's just assumed, right? But Paul was yielded to God's will. 2 years here, no big deal. 3 months on Malta. You know, God's will be done. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to serve people. I'm going to shake off the vipers that strike, and we're going to have vipers strike. Man, they hurt, right? Sometimes it might cause us to swell, look a little funny. I don't know, right? We're going to shake them off, and we're going to move forward, right? In the power of the Holy Spirit for the kingdom of God and for his great glory. Yield to God's will. Paul did that. Jump with me real quick again over to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, Paul can say, and I know this is our heart's desire, right, for each of us. As we approach, you know, the end of our lives, whenever that may be, hopefully it's a long ways away, right? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He has finished well. Jump with me again real quick back to Acts chapter 20. Paul was a man on a mission. Verse 24, Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul in prison in Rome, under house arrest, on an island, you know, couldn't hold him down. He was a man on a mission. So as we wrap up here, those who are note takers, right? One was serve God with all your heart, with all that you are. Two was touch other lives for God's glory by the way that you live yours. Three was always proclaim God's word, right? Sometimes non-verbally, sometimes verbally. And yield, four is yield to God's will. You'll see that spell stay, right? S-T-A-Y, stay the course, right? If we want to finish well, stay the course for the Lord Jesus. Stay the course for God's kingdom. Be faithful. Maybe it's hard. Maybe today it's really, really hard. Right? Maybe even standing up and walking, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. But do it for God's glory. Take a step outside of our own thinking and our own self-interest and step out for God's glory and watch what the Holy Spirit will do through you. One of the many, many great things about God, a lot of things I love about Jesus, one of the awesome things is that the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, right? So regardless of whether it's been, a few days we've struggled or months or years that we've struggled, right? His mercies are new this morning. We can choose today to step out in faith, right? That we're going to finish well, to get outside of ourselves, to serve God with all that we are by serving others, right? To touch other people's lives, right? For his glory, again, not for ours, outside of ourselves, to always proclaim his word and to yield to him, right? And that can be difficult, right? Because we want to, you know, press ahead and we want to do what we want to do. But, it's a blessing when we choose to do it for God's glory. God is for you. You want to get a little further, you know, insight into Paul this week. You know, again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want to grow in faith this week? Paul's in prison. What did he do these last 2 years of his life? Or these 2 years, rather, that he was in prison? He wrote a couple letters, right? Go back and read Colossians and read Ephesians. You know, some of the things that Paul penned around this time in his life. And get a glimpse into his thinking and realize that God is for you, right? God's not done. God is faithful. He who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Guess what? That means today, right? He's faithful today, still. We can step out in faith. And so I want to encourage you, maybe you're in that place this morning where you feel like, you know, I'm not where God wants me to be. You know, if today was the last day, I honestly can't say that I finished well. Don't beat yourself up over that, right? We all can find ourselves in that place. Don't beat yourself up. But let's determine that we're going to take steps of faith. Faith is an action word, by the way. It requires effort, requires, you know, a decision, and then stepping out in obedience to the Holy Spirit of God and doing that, right? A reasonable form of worship. And it can start afresh today. I don't know, there's times I need it as a pastor, right? Times I get, realize, man, this hasn't been a great season or whatever. But we can stay the course. Keep on stepping forward for the Lord Jesus. Amen? Let's stand together and we'll close in prayer. As I mentioned next week also, if you feel energetic, or actually even if you don't feel energetic, read the first couple chapters of Joshua. All right, we're going to dive into Joshua, right? And a series called Living in Victory. We're going to see, again, some steps of faith, the required effort. You know, I can only imagine, we'll talk more about this next week, marching around those walls, you know, getting up in the morning. What are we going to do today? Oh, I'm marching around Jericho again. Great. You know what I mean? God did some radical things through their obedience, though, didn't he? So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your incredible love for us, God, and thank you for the hope that is in you. And Father, I pray, Lord, for anybody here today who feels like perhaps they're not finishing well, God, that perhaps as we look at the Apostle Paul, Lord, I certainly look at Paul and realize I have a long ways to go, God, but I don't want to give up. I'm not going to turn back. Lord, I'm not going to burn out or cry out or fall out. Lord, I want to pursue you with all of my heart, Lord, from this day forward. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, as I know, Lord, I'm not the only one. God, I pray that you would help us to choose to empty us of ourselves and to be filled with your Spirit and to walk forward in the power of your Spirit, Lord, in just simple obedience and trust in you. God, thank you that you're the one who is faithful, Lord, even when we're not and even when we haven't been. Thank you, God, that you're the one who leads us. You're the one who directs us. You're the one who empowers us. Lord, you haven't called us to do anything that you haven't already equipped us with the ability to do. May we not lose sight of that for your great glory, Lord. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.